bread definitely has its obsessives, right? People who geek out over hydration percentages and proofing times to the millisecond. But for most people, bread is just the thing that's there. It's your daily bread, right? It's inevitable and invisible. And most of the time, it's nothing special. But like all things, even the nothing special, everyday version of something can be fascinating. Look at injera, the chewy, sour, bubbly bread of Ethiopia that's so much the center of the meal that people use it as a utensil, a plate, and a seasoning. We'll get a lesson on making it later in the show. We're also going to get into the history of why New York bagels aren't really what they're cracked up to be anymore. We'll learn why breads get flatter as you go further north in the Nordic countries, and America's Test Kitchen comes in with, well, the ultimate nothing special bread, white bread. But first, biscuits. Next to cornbread, there's probably no American bread tradition that inspires more passion than biscuits. They have this mystique, right? I mean, when you talk to biscuit people, it's like there's the door code to the Illuminati meeting room, and then there's the secret to how Mama makes her biscuits. But Erica Council is a software engineer in Atlanta who, several chefs have told me, is the best biscuit maker in the land, and she is unimpressed with all the pomp around making biscuits. It's not to say that she doesn't take them seriously, though, because she really does. And she joins me here today. Erica Council, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thanks for having me, Francis. How's it going?
I would be better with a biscuit in front of me, but I guess we'll just have to talk about it and imagine.
I would be too.
So I've been told that you make the greatest biscuits of all time. And so I want to talk to you about so many things. But first, let's start with your ideal biscuit itself, because there are, you know, a million styles of biscuit, right?
Yeah.
But to you, what is a great biscuit like?
For me personally, I like a biscuit that's sturdy. So, you know, one that's kind of crisp at the bottom and,
yes,
you know, even though it flakes in the center, it won't fall apart when I bite into it.
Mm-hmm.
So when I bite into that biscuit, I want to pull it away from my mouth and it just still be intact with my teeth marks in it.
Mm-hmm.
you know, but that biscuit to hold up to the gravy and don't fall apart, and more so a sausage and a runny egg or country ham can kind of, you know, a biscuit can withstand that,
mm-hmm,
and not crumble to pieces, you know, more sturdy than a softer biscuit.
Mm-hmm. But still light, like still like have a good fluff,
yeah,
to it.
Yeah, still light. Yeah, I think the word I'm looking for is not crumbly.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be soft and light, but still sturdy.
Yeah. So here's like the literal million-dollar question. How do you make a biscuit like that? Like, I don't need to get your recipe necessarily, but you're an engineer, so I figure you've got all the steps like figured out. So what are techniques that you use to make a biscuit flaky, crisp on the bottom, but still have like enough body?
Well, I do know for the crispness on the bottom of the biscuit, I kind of do my, at home,
mm-hmm,
we'll do my cast iron skillet the way I do to make cornbread.
Mm.
And it's really how I learned how to make, you know, biscuits anyway. So with cornbread, you melt the butter in the cast iron skillet, and then you kind of add some sugar to the bottom of it.
Oh, wow.
And then when you pour in your cornbread, you put that in the oven, let it get hot. And then once you've mixed the cornbread mix, you put that into the, right in the skillet with the crisp butter and, you know, sparkling sugar. So once you've baked it and you take that cornbread out, it's got the sugar crust, which is the best thing in the world. So,
girl,
I just sort of adapted that same methodology to the biscuits at home. I let my pan warm up without the sugar and butter, but I let my pan get hot,
uh-huh,
in the oven, and then once I put the biscuit rounds on there, they actually don't take that long to cook because they're crisp at the bottom.
Mm.
And I make sure that the biscuits are not touching, so that it's kind of crisp all around, because, you know, the biscuits are touching that touching side, it makes it soft,
mm,
versus having it crisp all around. And then I like to use an all-purpose flour. I have noticed that if you use King Arthur or gold medal versus the traditional white lily that you hear all the Southerners talk about, it does make a firmer biscuit.
Mm.
I do make them with the cake flour, all-purpose flour mixture, but those tend to be the more delicate biscuits for like shortcakes or things of that nature. I tend to stay away from that particular type of recipe that utilizes the fancier flours, as my grandma would say, when I want to make a sturdy biscuit. I remember her telling me one time I had some cake flour in my house, and she said, "What are you going to do with this?" I said, I use it to make cakes. She was like, you know, cake flour and make a cake? She said, that's what's wrong with y'all young folks. You got to have special stuff to make stuff nowadays.
I can hear that look.
Yeah, said, it was so sassy.
I definitely want to get to your grandmother's in a moment, but I want to keep getting on this.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
the other question I always have with biscuit making is the butter, right? How do you treat the butter? How do you incorporate mm-hmm. the butter?
Well, I cut my butter into like a half inch square mm-hmm. to break it down, and then I'll cut it into the flour mix using a food processor I'm making a big batch. If I'm making a small batch, I tend to use a pastry cutter or, you know, fork or something to cut it in because my body temperature is so hot.
Mm.
So it melts the butter. But I was taught to throw the butter in there and toss it in the flour and then, like, you know, snap your fingers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So take the butter and, like, kind of snap it into the flour to get that, you know, crumbliness. But my snapping turns into melted butter, so I try to keep my hands out of the flour.
Yeah, yeah. So in the food processor, how much do you want the butter cut into the flour typically?
Just, you know, it's through trial and error that you learn. You know, I've kind of got it down to where I can notice it's kind of crumbling, I don't know, a little bit more than pie crust, in my mm-hmm. opinion. You want to incorporate it into the flour, but you still want it to, you know, sort of see some of that butter, you know, so that steam will help get that kind of flakiness that comes from the butter, you know, mm-hmm. separating in that dough. So,
and then you mix in some buttermilk, and that's your dough, right?
I mix in some buttermilk. Yeah, I like thick, whole, fatty buttermilk. Crew's Dairy Farm out of Tennessee is just the Beyonce of buttermilk. I mean, it just really reigns supreme amongst all others, and it's so hard to get. Like, I'll drive to Chattanooga to go get, you know, like a half a gallon and just go in Whole Foods and buy it all. And I know when they see me coming in there, they're probably like, Lord, here she comes. So yeah, it's great, you know, but all buttermilk is not created equal.
So just a nice thick buttermilk and a little mix, very light with the hand.
Toss it together just to bring it together. And then, you know, my mixture sort of looks like a jumbled mess when I throw it onto the floured surface, where I'm just going to sort of pat it into a square. It kind of looks like, you know, it does look like it's falling apart and it won't mm. work, but it does. And then I sort of take the flour bench scraper and just sort of, you know, to avoid my hands getting into it, and mm-hmm. just kind of just put it into a square and like pat it down and fold it over a couple of times, not much though. And then I'll just kind of cut it in threes and stack each layer on top of each other and roll it out and cut, you know, rounds or cut it into squares.
And bake away.
And bake it in the oven. Yeah.
And let me ask you, you brought up your grandmother before.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned you started making biscuits because of both your grandmothers. Tell me about them.
Yeah, so my more well-known grandmother was Mildred Council, Mama Dip, Council mm-hmm. of the Dip's Country Kitchen. It's a, you know, soul food, country, you know, she's from a different generation would refer to herself as the country cook, which I always love to hear her say, but it's kind of your typical meat and three. You get a basket of biscuits and cornbread, so I, you know, always had lots of exposure to the mass production of biscuits
mm-hmm.
and how to cut corners to make lots. But on my maternal side, my grandmother on that side was very much into the civil rights movement. And, you know, growing up as a child, every lesson in foods tend to stem around, you know, liberation and black joy and all kinds of things. And she sort of taught me a lot of her story through food. And one in particular was she had an opportunity to go to Columbia University to get an advanced degree in education, and she took the opportunity. It's, you know, not without going into too much detail, there was, you know, back when there was segregation, you know, black educators were, you know, sort of in this position of, we want to get advanced degrees, we want to be able to advance our careers and take the knowledge back to our communities, but there weren't a lot of schools offering that. And so to mm-hmm. placate them, they sort of said, oh, well, Columbia has teamed up to sort of give you this program that can allow African Americans from the South, you know, to go and get advanced degrees from Columbia, thinking that no one would be able to get enough money to go up there, you know, and really take part. But I think a good 400 to 500 African Americans actually ended up taking part in that program over a decade or so, a couple of decades. I might be wrong with that statistic, but I do remember that much. But her story was, you know, she was in New York. They went into some restaurant or whatever, and she just was so amazed at how, you know, white folk would just come up and talk to them, and as though it wasn't, you know, not an issue, you know, coming from the Jim Crow South. And they kind of ordered these, you know, meal, and it came with this basket of, you know, she called them biscuit rolls. And she said there was this other couple kind of sat next to them and just was asking them all these questions, and they started eating together. And it's just, for some reason, that story just kind of stuck with me. And I think she could tell how much it affected me. And that lesson just sort of triggered so many around food, you know, cakes she made to raise money to go hear MLK speak, and booths they set up to talk about voter rights. And they had, you know, pimento cheese sandwiches, you know, stuff like that. So
yeah,
the biscuits is kind of powerful on both sides, I think, because, you know, even now with a lot of the events that I'll have, if I'm able to raise money, it goes towards this program that I do where I sort of teach underrepresented kids how to do computer programming and just sort of ways of expanding your knowledge in case college isn't the route that you go, or you're unable to get to this certain stage, and, you know, how you can take the technical route to get where you need to be, just sort of taking in that whole, use this food and these opportunities to liberate your people as much as possible.
Thank you so much, Erica. Great talking with you.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Erica Council is a software engineer, writer, photographer, and runs the Bomb Biscuits pop-up in Atlanta. And she wanted you to have her recipe for biscuits and syrup butter. Get it at splendidtable.org.